Well, by now you know the program. The sun has gone into its state of pralaya. It emerges, and there is a recapitulation of the first two stages. So there's a long recapitulation of Saturn in which everything only subsists in a state of warmth. There's a long recapitulation of the sun state in which light and air are added to the mix. So these are the first two stages of the next step of planetary development. And only in the third step, the third stage, does it become what it inherently is. And this is what Steiner speaks of as old moon. And I should add, if I haven't already, Saturn was old Saturn, Sun was old Sun, and then old moon. And this is a term used by esotericists to distinguish them from the planets that are out there now. How large was old moon? Well, now actually there is something beginning to approach the dimensionality, because there is space of what we would understand today. Old moon stretched about as far away from the Earth as the orbit of the moon is now. So you see an incredible condensation has occurred. And because of this condensation, now it's possible, as it were, to squeeze something more out of light and air. And now we go into the element of fluid, of liquidity. So now we have something that is liquid. At first, one must imagine it was more like the finest mist or vapor that immediately dissipates into the air. And only little by little did it start to condense and condense, until finally, at the height of moon existence, the consistency of the moon, which again was not a planet as such, not just a sphere, but was a whole state of being, consistent throughout, there was a viscosity about it, like molasses, one might say. On the one hand, there were parts where the liquid was cool and viscous. There were places where it was warm, even hot, even fiery. So there was a sort of Saturn-like moon where stone substance itself, something trying to fully harden, was completely liquefied. So the consistency of lava today might give us a feeling for the mobility of substantiality on the moon sphere. And here was laid down the seed for the human astral body. Out of the ceaseless movement and activity going on all over the sphere. And eventually, there was a separating out, and one had part of the moon that carried the sun forces shining towards the part of the moon that was completely in darkness, because those beings who persisted from Saturn did not like the shared light of the sun, wanted it for themselves, who brought darkness to the sun period of evolution. They came back now in even greater force, because now, in a way, they're two steps behind. They're that much more holding back, and so they carry a greater force of conservatism, of unwillingness to change. And with this, the moon, as a thicker, denser, darker body, actually precipitates out. So now we have greater currency, as it were, greater flow of things, but also an increasing rigidification on the part of those beings who do not want to go forward. Now, it's very important for me to repeat this if I haven't said enough. At each of these times, of course, one or another hierarchical being becomes human. And as you might imagine, logically, on the moon it would be the angels' turn to be human. So indeed, the angels immerse themselves in a physical body that is completely liquefied. Well, that's a whole lot closer to the kind of body that we have, which is mineralized. This is why the angels carry so much more sympathy and compassion, so much more empathy towards us, understanding what it's like to be enmeshed in something that's at least thick, if not necessarily completely dense, as our body is. So the angels were in this denser body, relatively speaking. And meanwhile, the archangels were like the angels of the angels. As the angels went through their human period, the archangels were promoted. They took a step forward in their evolution. The archai serve the role that the archangels serve today. The archai were two steps above the angels. And the human being, though there were these bodies on the earth forming the physical body growing more dense and more liquefied, the etheric body growing more responsive to darkness and light, and now the astral body, which was a body of complete movement and mobility. But there was enough form there now that human beings actually began, as it were, to appear on the moon, which really means around the moon. They were living in this liquefied atmosphere. And they were, because they still had, especially in the physical body, this connection to old Saturn. Steiner says they were not breathing the air that we breathe today, but they were breathing a fiery kind of air, a Saturn-Sun air. That they were figures who also, because this was, after all, the astral world that was being born, they were figures who, to look at, if one could see them through earthly eyes of today, they were scaly. They had bodies that were sort of like a collection of shells crusted on them, or barnacles that they were constantly casting off and that were coming back again. They were half swimming, half flying through the air, and breathing fire. That is to say, the form of the human being on the moon was the form of the dragon. And so we could understand why in some parts of the world, particularly China, dragons are beneficial beings. There's an understanding going back to the most ancient kind of wisdom that we were dragons. That there was a time when if you wanted to move forward in your evolution, if you wanted to be part of the human race that was going ahead with the spiritual world, you took on the form of a dragon. And in that dragon form, one could see at times fish. At other times, it looked like a lion. At other times, like a cow. At other times, a bird. All of the forms of the animal world were living in that fire-breathing dragon, but nothing was differentiated. It was all one big astral goo, as it were. It's very interesting that Steiner actually attempted to paint this figure. He called it the Urmensch, the primal man. And this painting, for those of you connected with Waldorf schools or any other anthroposophical institutions, you may very well have seen this painting. It was for a eurythmy poster. So very often eurythmists like to hang up the painting. Sometimes it will still have the text on it, but sometimes not. But it is this figure done in a kind of veil painting with sort of wings and fish-like, and it's kind of flying in the air with something of a human head. So this is the human being, as it were, on the moon. So the human being is coming, but the human being is not yet in its human stage. That's the angels who are in their human stage. So man is still man, but he is at the level on the moon that the animals are on the earth. He is like the pet or the domestic helper of the angels. And the angels are kind of helping him out and taming him and training him so that eventually he can take on a much less volatile and more stable existence. But at the time that human beings had this dragon form, now the conflict between the right and left wing, we might say, between the conservatives, who were barely comfortable on sun and don't like the moon at all, and those who are moving forward, who know that the next step is going to bring even more densification, even more condensation and intensification of things, they are moving ahead with the fiery spirit of the sun, and others are pulling back, back, back. And now we have, as it were, a battle in heaven. And it is the archangels who are the guardians of the angels, and the angels who are going through their human stage get very, very involved in this battle. And it is, again, basically about moving forward or staying back. This is what's very interesting. This archetype of all battles, of all wars, of all conflicts between human beings has to do with whether one is going to keep going forward in evolution or whether one is happy where one is. And let's just stay right here. So what was good on Saturn, to be a being of pure warmth, is no longer so good on Sun when light and air are meant to be added, and is not at all good anymore on the moon, where fluidity has to come and where a much greater degree of movement is required. So we see what was good once becomes less good and finally becomes an outright hindering, obstructing force completely, which stands its ground and does not want to go forward. And this leads to what Steiner speaks of as the battle in heaven, which we hear about in many, many mythologies. And it often has to do with the archangel Lucifer, who did not want to go forward because that would mean yet another learning experience, yet another sort of humbling of his own nature, giving something up in order eventually, maybe, to get something even grander and greater. He stood still in a certain way and did not want to densify any further. Whereas those beings who had the courage to face the possibility of greater condensation, they had to battle with these beings so that the possibility of a next stage of evolution could occur. And what could be most visible on the moon? If anything could be seen at that time, what was it? It was the human beings who were dragons. So we could say that it becomes the battle of dragon forces, which would just get stuck at the moon phase and not go further. And the forms of those beings who were higher than the dragons, who had cast off everything of dross, everything that was not inherently of their nature, and who appear then before us as the very beautiful archangels who were then fighting against the dragon forces. Okay, let's stop here. This is plenty. You may want to listen to this repeatedly, and even then it might not make much more sense. But let's see then what comes of this battle in heaven and what it holds for the next step, which is going to be the earth itself.